Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show, and once again we have grabbed a major coup and bringing a new party to the Bubba Show, and that would be Peter Turk from Turk Capital. Peter, welcome aboard.
Thank you, Todd. It's great to be here.
You know, it's always great, you know, and I've known you for a little bit, and we've talked and we chatted, and, you know, it's great to really get you on now. And, you know, Peter, Nell Sloan hooked us up from the CTG Group, and, of course, that's always great, and they're actually sponsoring this interview for us, and kind of what you do, and because, you know, I want to get your views on, you know, overall what's going on, and, you know, I know you're running a couple of strategies. So do me a favor. Why don't you take me through Turk Capital and give me a general overview of the company and what you guys are doing, and then we're going to dig it. We're gonna pick it apart and look into it.
Okay, so Turk Capital is actually a single strategy. It's a managed future strategy based exclusively on research from TrimTabs. TrimTabs Investment Research is my partner, or our partner, and our strategy is based 100% on their demand index and related trading strategy. And what the demand index is a 21-factor regression model on the S&P 500. And the strategy that's related to it is TrimTab scales that index from 0 to 100. And we have a fairly straightforward trading strategy around it, which is if the index is above 75, we're 2 times long the S&P. Between 50 and 75, we're 1 time long. Between 25 and 50, we're in cash, and below 25, we're short the S&P.
Okay, so what does a regression mean? Give us some of the more internals of that, so we can, well, because we're picking one part at a time. I want to make sure everybody understands exactly where we're going with this.
Well, sure, but I think as a good context for it, if you think about the last 3 or 4 years, where the Fed has been. The Fed and other central banks have really been dominating markets. You know, if you read the headlines for each of the last 3 or 4 years, rates were always about to rise, and they were going to kill the equity rally, right? But what happened in reality is rates never rose, haven't risen significantly yet, and it certainly hasn't killed the equity rally. So what our model is designed to do is separate the noise and the signal. And when we have a 21-factor model, and I'll go over in a second, but what's great about it is picking up changes in investor behavior, not changes in headlines. So our model, only a couple times over the past 3 or 4 years, picked up investors really changing their behavior in regards to interest rate-sensitive products, and therefore, for the majority of the time, was extremely bullish on equities and outperformed nicely. Now, some of those factors are based on flows, mutual fund flows, ETF flows. Some are measures of risk in terms of the VIX, the put call ratio, and other things that are not necessarily public, like sentiment surveys, which is a measure of risk. And another interesting measure of risk for us is money market levels. When investors have risk off, they accumulate lots of money market assets. So the nice thing about the model, though, is what a regression model is, it simply says, it looks at each of one of those factors and says, where does that factor compare today versus its historical average? And we look and determine how unique it is. So if one of the factors is at a very extreme level, that's a very unique situation. And what the model does says, hey, let's look at what the S&P did when we were at this very unique situation. And I think a little bit of the secret sauce and the really proprietary benefit of TrimTabs is they use some averaging periods. So if we're looking at mutual fund flows, we're not just looking at one-day mutual fund flows, because that would have a lot of volatility. cause a lot of buy-sell signals, and it would be very noisy. But they're using certain averaging periods to filter all this data, and then they're also, the way they scale it to create the index from 0 to 100 makes it a very effective trading strategy.
And, you know, I mean, and by the way, guys, we're talking to only a Dartmouth graduate and a guy who's been around, understands the business, spent some time with Merrill Lynch and J.P. Morgan. So why is the strategy unique? I mean, I know you've worked extensively trying to put this together and really come up with what I think is a really great model. So what makes it the unique from other strategies that claim to be similar to what you do?
It's a good question. Well, I believe it's unique because it's one of the few, maybe only, model, the S&P timing model that's focused on the medium term. And our focus is 30 to 90 days. So in the futures world, obviously, there's many systematic quantitative momentum type models that are really effective, but they're very short trading times. So we're not competing. We're not similar to those. We're more in the 30 to 90 day time frame in terms of predicting the market. And why we're unique is, if you look at those models that try to do that, our model is significantly more effective than any other than I've seen so far. And what's TrimTabs has been publishing this model since September of 2008, and 08-09 is a great example. It started in cash, it went short, the model did, on a research basis. There was no real capital invested at the time. And from, you know, as the market turned, it got single long and double long. So the market in a real-time basis did what it was supposed to do. Excuse me, the model did what it was supposed to do, which is pick up large changes in investor behaviors and get out of the market before it gets absolutely creamed. And then when the conditions are looking more favorable, get back into the market. I don't think there are other medium-term models that have the same stated goal with the same performance, and that's why we're unique.
No, and I mean it is unique because it's really a non-emotional, purely a almost a math-based model. Would that be correct?
That's correct. It's 100% systematic, so we don't use any discretion. Out of the 21 factors, a large percentage of them, you know, close to half, are contrary indicators. So that means, for example, normally when ETF traders are piling into equities, historically that means the S&P is likely to sell off. ETF traders are not, as a group, are not very good traders. I'm sure there's some that are excellent traders, but many are not. And it's good that it's systematic, because a lot of times the conditions at the bottom, when the headlines are horrible and people are screaming and losing money left and right, those are the best conditions to get into and buy equities. And often the reverse is true, when there's a lack of any bad news or any bad sentiment, and everyone's fully invested at the top. You know, picking the top is always something people try to do. The nice thing for our systematic model is we don't have to try to pick the top. The model does it for us. Our model will tell us when equities are over-invested, and therefore there's not a lot of demand left for equities. Our model will tell us when, you know, for example, ETF or other contrarian indicators are piling into equities.
All right, let's hold that thought. We're going to come back and talk about piling into equities. This is Peter Turk from Turk Capital, being brought to you by the Capital Trading Group, Nell Sloan, CTG Group, our friends. Make sure you check them out. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. We're with Peter Turk from Turk Capital. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz hanging out with Peter Turk from Turk Capital. He's being brought to you by the CTG Group, Capital Trading Group, and our friend Nell Sloan. So, Peter, you're talking about how systems, and of course, myself as a floor trader, we saw a lot of that too. And, you know, it was the old story. If you could see their tonsils, if they were buying them, you'd want to sell them to them. And if they were selling them, you'd want to buy them from them, because it is a piling in mentality. And, of course, your stuff does that basically without emotion, without electronics, and it really sees where it needs to be. So go ahead and finish your thought on that, if you don't mind.
Well, I think the thought is just, at inflection points in the market, they're really hard to time. They're almost impossible to time. And once you, if you inject emotion, it's impossible to be purely objective. And what I think our model, what it does best, it separates the noise and the signal, and we get to see the signal. So, the old saying is you never know what's going to cause the next sell-off. And I think the nice thing is we have a systematic approach, while not perfect, has proven very effective at finding these inflection points in the market.
And I mean, and that's the hard, obviously that's always the hardest thing to do, because if you're emotionally tied to a market, it's hard to make a logical, educated decision. Would you agree with that?
I agree 100%. And in fact, I found Trim Tabs, and we, Trim Tabs and I, created the partnership because I was running my own, modest-sized macro fund, and, pulling my hair out and staying late up at night trying to sort through, whether it was non-farm payroll headlines, central bank headlines, various news items. And you find yourself being dragged into or sucked into these events, and everyone who's traded has felt it and done it. You get whipsawed, and it's hard to have enough conviction at these times, particularly when they're really volatile. The beauty of our model is, and beauty of our capital is, it's systematic. We don't have any emotion. We don't have any discretion. We let, as you say, the math or the model make the decision for us. And that's number one. It's proven effective over time. But number two, it also keeps us in trades. We don't get margined out. We don't get stop lost out. So our risk management, We let the model run. Risk management for investors is really portfolio construction, that's a nice way of saying, don't invest too much when you look at the risk and the return profiles. But I think that's the beauty of the market. Rather than trying to time it with human characteristics, emotion, stress, fear, It is systematic, and I think that's one of the reasons why it outperforms nicely.
And I agree, and that's why. So we go away from the actual math of the model for a moment, and let's just talk a little bit about markets just a bit here. So, we both know that, there has been basically a manipulated market. Currencies are being manipulated. The central banks around the world are doing their thing, and of course, China had that, obviously unbelievable run, and then of course the unbelievable sell-off, and now China's basically closed part of their market, and they're only allowing the things open that go up. But from a fundamental standpoint, I mean, their PMI is down again, and I know that from a system trading, it doesn't bother you, but from a guy who's been around the business for a while, what does all this stuff going on make you think about?
Well, the way I think about it is as long as we're in this current market environment, we're likely, equities are likely to continue to be well supported, meaning if we're in a period of fairly modest global growth, fairly modest global inflation, not only the U.S. Central Bank, the Fed, but central banks around the world are going to have the opportunity to keep rates extremely low for a long period of time. And this is my personal view. I don't see a major market sell-off while central banks globally are extremely easy on monetary policy. So, could China, Greece, Puerto Rico in the muni bond space, could they inject some sell-offs, 5-10% sell-offs, maybe, possibly. but I don't think we're going to see something like the likes of 2008, 2009, or anything close to that, while central banks are at that or close to zero and have really no pressure to raise rates at all. I mean, I think people are assuming the Fed's going to raise rates in 2015. Events over the last 4 weeks have probably made that less likely as opposed to more likely, even though the Fed is saying they're going to do it still. And just tying that back to Turk Capital, the nice thing about Turk Capital is in each of the last two interest rate rises, which occurred, I believe, at the end of 2014, at the end of 2013, depending on how quickly those rates rose, our model did pick up a change in investor behavior twice, and we got significantly less bullish on equities at the end of both of those years, and actually missed a, I think it was about a 5-7% sort of sell-off, and actually got reinvested at a very opportunistic time, and had led, and those two periods led to some nice outperformance for the model. But the point is, my view is, it's really about rates. When rates are rising, and they rise significantly, I think it's going to be a real challenge for equity markets globally. But how do you figure out when is that happening? If you read the headlines, you would have been wrong for most of the last 3 or 4 years. And the nice thing about our system is it is a systematic way of picking that up, which has proved in the recent past or over the last 2 years to have done a pretty good job of just of exactly that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't, you know, look, I'm on record. I'm on national TV saying that they ain't raising this year, and quite possibly there might even be another, some type of easing package, because unfortunately, with everything they've done, they really have not made the overall economy better. What do you think?
I don't disagree. I think it's going to be very hard for them to raise rates, and if they raise rates, you know, the equity market is afraid of a 2002, 2004 raise rates every meeting and maybe in between meetings. I think the possibility of that is very close to zero, so I do agree with you. I think, though, the thing for investors is, how do you, you know, if you don't want to take a huge view on interest rates like an old pro like you are, what do you do? And what our model does, which is great, it's not tied to the 10-year. We don't have a factor that says, hey, if the 10-year hits 275, we want out. So we have factors in the model that are focused on investors' behavior based on interest rates. For example, cash at mutual fund managers. If mutual fund managers are really getting scared about a big sell-off based on rates, they're going to accumulate cash, and we watch that. If other investors are scared because there's really a large rate hike coming, it's going to affect a kind of a risk-off trade, they're not going to pile into hedge funds. We watch that. So we're able to get a very good read on when is this interest rate hike going to really affect investor behavior and bring down the value of assets. Having said that, I think in the markets, there does not seem to be a compelling case other than the Fed is at zero for the Fed to raise rates.
Right. And I don't see, again, I personally believe that they have, you know, painted themselves into a corner, and they don't have an exit strategy. In my opinion, again, it doesn't make me right, but I believe, you know, again, it depends on the theories of economics, and of course, the beauty of what you do has nothing to do with the theory of economics. It has specifically to do with, you know, if this then that, and it's a lot of things we talk about here a lot on the Bubba Show is take the emotion away from what they're doing, because it's really not important to you. It's really more about recognizing the opportunities that get presented to themselves. And if you can do that with a mathematical model that takes away all the emotion part of it, it makes it better. But we're going to step out here for a break. I am with Peter Turk, from Turk Capital and working on his new program, the Trim Tab System, with Charles Biederman. But he's being brought to you by the Capital Trading Group, Nell Sloan, CTG. You check it out at thebubbashow.org. They're one of our guys, and make sure you check them out. And we'll be back right after the break with more from Peter Turk, Turk Capital. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break.
You're so delicious.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic process.
The War State by Michael Swanson is a must-read for anyone interested in the critical 20 years after World War II, when the United States morphed from a constitutional republic to a global imperial superpower. Get The War State by Michael Swanson from Amazon.com today.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm with a new friend of the program, somebody I've known for a little bit, Peter Turk from Turk Capital, being sponsored and brought to you by our friends at the Capital Trading Group, Nell Sloan. You guys all know her. She's part of the show. She's been on a lot of things that I do, and also on the Bubba Show.org. So, Peter, Trim Tabs. Tell us about how you hooked up with Trim Tabs and how that, you know, whole thing works. And I know Charles is one of the guys there, and of course a Harvard guy. So we got a Harvard and a Dartmouth guy going together. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, Trim Tabs is founded and led by Charles Biederman. He's been at it for about, I think, 25 years. And Trim Tabs has various different research products. And the overwhelming, the overriding theme is Charles believes that we're overcomplicating a lot of these market calls and investment decisions, and using things like PE and revenue growth and book value. And he likes to simplify it in a very elegant way, that it's about supply and demand. So his view is, if you can measure the supply of stock, and you can measure the demand for stock, you can tell which way equities are going, meaning market-wise or individual equities. And so they have many research products. The first one I heard about was back in the 90s. A lot of the interest rate traders used to use Trim Tabs. They have a product that is designed to give guidance on the direction of payrolls. And what they do there is they look at income tax receipts, so you get a real-time view on the wage on the labor market. It's not supposed to predict payrolls, but it's because payrolls have so many seasonal adjustments, things like that. So they have product, and also their research is the basis for two ETFs that are Trim Tabs Asset Management is a sub-advisor for us. There's two ETFs in the market, and again, those are based on the idea of supply and demand for stock. One of them is called the Float Shrink, where they screen stocks and they look for the largest companies that are shrinking their shares outstanding, and they're doing it without adding debt. And if you think about the laws in supply and demand, if nothing else changes, company buys back a lot of stock, you would think that the dollar per share would go up. So anyway, as I mentioned before, I was actually purchasing their research. I thought their research was very unique, very helpful I think one of the things post Dodd-Frank is most bank research looks almost exactly alike now. Therefore, the utility of it is not very high. So I liked TrimTab's unique supply and demand approach. They have these great great information on flow data and other unique ways of looking at the market. And I was actually purchasing the research and trading currencies and rates and some stock indices. And while I'm doing it and ripping my hair out to eke out single-digit returns, I was looking at this demand index and their strategy around the demand index, and I said, maybe I'm overcomplicating it with all this. If you get the timing right on the S&P 500 as an individual investor, if you get that right, almost everything else doesn't matter. And that's really why I got to, TrimTaz and I got together and we formed Fair Capital, which really just commercializes and makes available to investors the TrimTaz demand index and related strategy. We call it Fair Capital.
So, you know, so now you've become a guy that you don't have to pull your hair out at night. You don't have to worry about the non-farm payrolls. You don't have to worry about all the stuff's going on because it's become, again, a basic, pure emotion trade. But we both know, as, you know, people involved in the market, even if we always mentally know that our system works and we're going to follow that guide. But what are you thinking about? What's Peter Turk think overall about the collapsing of commodities and, you know, what's going on around the globe, just from a perspective of a guy who's been in the business for so long?
Well, I think number one, the higher rate trade was a trade that made a lot of fixed income traders a lot of money through the 90s and 2000s. And I think people are still generally looking for that trade. There are many more professional rate traders that would bet rates are going higher than lower. That's just an observation. But I think what's really going on in the world is technology is reducing the need for labor, therefore keeping wages muted. And, you know, you need to make a large capital investment to automate, let's say, a factory. The interesting thing is, with rates as low as they are, companies can automate more factories, because it used to be you would take a hit in year one and year two before you got the benefits of efficiencies. But with rates so low and credit and capital so available, I think what's happening is, you see it even in the U.S., the number of wage earners is going down, and they have no bargaining position, so their wages are going. So you're stuck in this low rate, easy to borrow money, easy to automate, which creates lower wages or less growth in wages, which reinforces low rates. So I think that's the cycle that we're in, and I think that part of that is probably related to, when you look at energy and commodities, low rates and the availability of credit, even post 2008-2009 Dodd-Frank, certainly helped the oil industry in the U.S., which creates a lot of capacity, and therefore prices going down. I think you think global demand is pretty weak. I think that's right. I think that will ebb and flow. But I think the big big factor in keeping inflation down is that rates are so low, it makes automation and investment so easy. And it's either creating automation and displacing workers, or it's finding more commodities that they couldn't find before.
Now, when you run the model, and enters and it exits, okay, what are some of the things that trigger an entry or an exit? You know, I know it's the model of what they're doing. Now, does it exit, you know, like, does it have a profit target, or does it just run until the model changes and then it reduces, whether it's a profit or a loss? I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, we follow the model and the strategy directly, so there's no profit target. It's really driven by, we have four positions, and as soon as those positions change, we change. So we are, As soon as the model changes, we change. The model uses some averaging periods. So we're not like a macro fund where we might be in one day, out the next. Our period is more over a period of like 3 to 5 days, we're more likely to change position. And what that means is you have to have a fairly significant change in the underlying factors and a persistent one. So if you get a one day where there's a huge equity outflow in mutual funds due to some unrelated market reason, you know, someone went bankrupt, or you know, two companies merged and they haven't merged their pension plan, some you know, non-market event, that wouldn't affect us. But if you had the flows, you know, large outflows for 2, 3, 4, 5 days, as that persists, our model will change. And then what we do is we believe big time in the research, so as trading it, we want to match the research as close as possible. And like we said a lot, there's no human intervention. As soon as it says to go in or out, we go in or out.
Well, I mean, and I think that's important. I think that's important for you listeners to understand that this is purely, it has nothing to do with, you know, China's PMI. I mean, it may eventually obviously have something to do with it, but the basic thing is really, and this is what takes us down to a true trading perspective, because as a market maker, which I was, and as a floor trader, which I was, the key to being successful was not worried about the outside noise, but worried about where was the best flow, or what was the paper or the order flow telling you. And that's basically what your model does. It tries to take advantage of understanding through your methods of computers and program, saying this is where we belong and this is the right trade based on all of these factors. Would that be correct?
That's right. And using China as an example is, okay, the China headline has no effect on our model, but we have 21 factors. If that causes risk off, it's so bad in China, right? It's so bad in China that institutional investors are pulling their money out of hedge funds because they're afraid, you know, we're heading towards 2008, 2009 again, and they're going to get gated and money stuck there, or the hedge funds are going to lose money. We're watching for them to pull that money out. And if that doesn't happen, or and the same in many other factors, then it's just a headline, and we say, hey, we don't think it has that big of an effect on the S&P 500 yet, but we watch it every day, and at once, and if it does start affecting that risk measure, we start seeing money coming out of hedge funds, that would be a large risk off signal to us, and we would be concerned about it, and the, you know, that factor in a vacuum would take the model lower, and at some point would
hold on for that. Hold on to that thought. Hold on, I want to talk about that because that's important. Hold on to that thought. I am with Peter Turk from Turk Capital, running a straight, mathematically based design model that I believe in, and of course we know that Nell Sloan of the Capital Trading Group believes in as well, because she brought Peter to us and wanted to make sure that she was sponsoring this show. So we're going to step out here for a break. This is with Peter Turk from Turk Capital. Todd Bubba Horowitz, The Bubba Show. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
After 10,000 beers and 28 years.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, of course, I've got Peter Turk from Turk Capital, and being brought to you by the Capital Trading Group in Chicago, and Nell Sloan. Make sure you check them out, as well as Peter and his model. So, Peter, you were talking about the change of position and how it does it and why it does it. So go ahead and finish that thought if you don't mind.
Well, I think we're talking about China and the headline, are watching the China, the demise in the Chinese equities, which I think was about 25% from high to low recently.
Yeah.
And our model is separating that headline from the effect on U.S. equities. And when we see, so our model doesn't pick up, you know, we don't have a factor that says the performance of Chinese equities, but we have lots of factors like U.S. mutual fund flows, U.S. ETF flows, spec positions in S&P 500, VIX, cash at mutual fund managers, money market assets, flows into hedge funds. When that Chinese situation, Chinese stock situation, affects U.S. investors, that's when our model starts picking it up. And it's an interesting way to separate the world, because sometimes the world is localized, but as we all found out, clearly there's many times when the world is not localized, and it's one market, and they all, you know, the effect of China flows right into the U.S., and it really hits U.S. stocks. Yeah, our, you know, we don't make a discretionary decision on that. We look at the same 21 factors, and we know when it's affecting U.S. investors, as opposed to guessing whether it's going to or not. Now, obviously, there's some people who guess pretty well, so I'm not saying that you can't guess and make a discretionary call and be right, because there's lots of people who've made lots of money doing that. But we just think that's extremely difficult, and what we know what our model's good at, and that's waiting to see the changes in U.S. investor behavior from the Chinese model. And by the way, we saw very little so far.
All right, and that's what you look again. That's when you say to yourself, "We're not going to be brought in. We're not going to be sucked into these announcements and trying to outguess what's going on." So now, what are the products that you do use to trade with? What are is there one product? Is there a couple of products that you use? What are the stuff that you use?
Right, so we actually have two programs. One is managed futures, one's managed equities. The managed futures program uses E-mini, S&P E-minis only. It's very simple, straightforward, and we're always in one of those four positions that I talked about. We have a product that's managed equities that we distribute through the RIA community, and using the managed equities, we're using S&P ETFs, SPY, you know, we'll go long and short. We use SSO to get double long, and we use SH, which is the short S&P ETF, to get short in retirement accounts where you can't short things outright. The good news on the equity side, it's available through RIAs. You know, obviously, there's probably many more equity investors in the world than futures investors in the world. The bad news is, the futures is a much better product. The 60-40 tax treatment, the ability to use some leverage, and most importantly, the S&P 500 tracks the S&P. It's the best tracking of the S&P. The S&P 500 levered ETFs and short ETFs, their goal is to offer two times the daily return of the S&P 500, which is a very different return than if you bought the S&P futures and held them for 30 days. So there's some tracking error. But we're trying to bring the two products to allow both futures and typically more sophisticated investors to take advantage of the strategy, as well as equity investors.
Awesome. All right, so I've heard great things, and of course your model is a direct correlation to what we talk about often and believe in. On the Bubba Show, we are very much into basically mathematical trading and not emotion trading, and not trying to pick news, because of course news is, by the time you get it, it's old, it's not always right. But what's never wrong is always the inflows or the outflows, because that's telling you exactly where, as we say on the floor, where paper is going or money is going. But how do we get a hold of Peter Turk? How do we get, I want to be involved in Trim Tabs, the whole system you're doing. How do I do that? What do I have to do?
Okay, so I would encourage people to, we have a website. It's TurkCap, that's TurkCapLLC.com. Anyone interested in checking out Trim Tabs, it's trimtabs.com. And we're also working with Nell Sloan at the Capital Trading Group as an interesting broker, and they can be reached. They're 800-238-2610.
So now this has been up and running, and obviously, as we always know, past performance is not indicative of future results. We always make that disclaimer. But the system has been working well, and if you were to put out, you know, an expectation, you know, what are you looking for as far as investor, you know, type of money? What do you need? If I want to get involved, how much do I need to get involved with?
Okay, well, first of all, we have been running with real money since last May. As of the end of June, where the strategy net of fees is up a little over 16%. The S&P is about 12.5%. So we have some pretty decent outperformance there. Yeah, July so far has been a very good month. We'll see how it goes the next week. Just one thought on the expectations of the returns for the model. Our model returns is somewhat correlated to the correlation to the volatility of the S&P 500. So when the S&P is very volatile, we tend to get higher returns and greater outperformance, but we also suffer our more volatility ourselves. You know, when we have relatively low periods of volatility, which I would say we're going through an extremely low period of volatility, you see we have 16%+ versus 12.5%. You know, we do get some factor outperformance of the S&P, but it's not volatile enough to allow to get in and out and really create significant outperformance. Now, on the flip side of that is it doesn't cause a lot of volatility in our numbers. But our minimums are because we trade the E-minis, which are roughly 100,000, a little over 100,000. So we look for $100,000 minimum accounts, and we're not very we don't use that much margin. So the ability to use leverage is certainly available to investors. They don't need that much in cash, obviously.
Yeah, and of course that is, you know, very important, and I'm so happy. And if you guys were listening, Peter basically said that, you know, the increases the volatility of their own when things are going a little wild, which means that you're always, there is no guarantee of any one particular trade or any one particular system, but understanding that you are going to have swings within your own is important, because again, as I say every day on this show, you know, it's not about one trade or one series of trades. It's about disciplining and managing yourself and letting the markets work for you. And that's what Peter does over at Turk Gap and with Trip Tabs. You got 30 seconds. If you got any last minute messages you'd like to deliver to my listeners, Mr. Turk.
I would just say that our model has done a great job of separating the noise and the signal. And like you said, if it's an investment in our strategy is part of a proper portfolio construction, meaning you don't invest too much so you can let the model run. Investors in the model and in the strategy have done very well. And, you know, we'd love to talk to people more about it.
And you can reach Peter. Give us the website one more time.
It's TurkCapLLC.com, TurkCapLLC.com.
And that's Peter Turk. Peter Turk, thank you so much for joining the Bubba Show. We appreciate your time today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Hope to do it again.
This is the Bubba Show, and Peter was brought to you by Nell Sloan and the Capital Trading Group, or CTG Group, someone you're well familiar with because Nell's been on air with me, plus they're one of my sponsors at thebubbashow.org, and make sure you check out thebubbashow.org because we're always posting things for you that help you try to beat the markets without using emotion, which is a key cog of what Turk Capital does. This has been The Bubba Show. It's been a great pleasure to have on Peter Turk, and we will be back tomorrow, same time, same station. Everybody have a great day. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk Advance.